This is not a rhetorical question. I'm sure there are people in the village and around about who have seen me, perhaps heard me or of me. So I ask you, who do people say I am?
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker is probably quite a good answer. The Vicar. Any other perceptions? Sorry?
I don't mention it.
You don't mention it. Okay, well.
The new vicar.
The new vicar. Yes, yes. Okay.
Somebody said to me, is he the preacher? Is he the preacher?
The preacher. Yeah. The preacher. Now, it's interesting that each of your answers has been in the definite article. In other words, the vicar, the preacher, not a vicar. When Jesus asked his disciples who people said that he was, there was a mixture of the definite, those who said John the Baptist or Elijah, and the indefinite of one of the prophets. In other words, people were sort of stabbing a bit in the dark. They didn't really know who Jesus was. And so I turn to you again and ask you, who do you say I am?
Father David's folks.
Sorry. Our vicar. Got some ownership there. I'm yours. Okay. Well, you know what Peter said when Jesus asked his closest disciples, who do you say I am? He said, you are the eschatological manifestation of the kerygma of our entire being. And Jesus answered, what? But do you know who I am? Somebody once said that if you have to say to somebody, do you know who I am, you're not actually the person you think you are. Ever since I started training to be a priest, this question, which was immortalised on t-shirts in Bognor Regis in 1982, is, if you can read it from back there, who am it? Well, it was meant to be who am I question mark, but the printer misread the question mark to be a T, and so we were walking around satirically, we thought, asking not just one another, but the general public of Bognor Regis, who am I? And it seems that the Church of England, at least, has got a bit of a fixation on knowing who we are. In the recent Missional Leadership for Growth course, we had a week away in Whitby, and in that week we considered three personality profiles. This was in addition to the Myers-Briggs and the Gilmore-Frayley tests and personality profiles that I'd done in the past. And one of them was Insights Discovery Personal Profile. This is dated the 23rd of March 2017, so it's not old, it's fairly up to date. It's a 17-page report on who David Spokes is. It's got quite a lot of text, but it's also got some pretty diagrams as well. And some of the diagrams indicate who I am. I'm there. And I've got that sort of profile consciously, and that sort of profile subconsciously. You'll have to look at that later from a distance. And when mapped, quite reassuringly for me at least, my conscious and my subconscious are almost exactly the same shape. In other words, what you see is what you get, which is hopefully what most of us would come out on if you were doing one of these profiles. But I want to share with you a little bit of this profile. This is something which I haven't shared with anybody before, not even with Gillian. I just wonder if this is the person you think you know. David's focus is inward, meditative and reflective. He is easygoing and low-key and may be prone to doubting his own ability. David values people who take the time to understand his personal goals and values. Interested more in the realities brought to him by his senses, he is blessed with a special appreciation of natural things. He is very effective in specialised work and highly consistent in performance. He tends to appreciate tradition and is interested in maintaining established rules and procedures. David is always outstandingly practical and sensible. In everyday activities, David is tolerant, open-minded, flexible and adaptable, enjoying the present moment. His commitment to his obligations comes much less in words and much more in getting things organised and done. Cautious, conventional, diplomatic and sincere, David is a precise and disciplined person with high standards and expectations of himself. David is seen by others as open, mild, modest and rather self-effacing. A good day-to-day planner, he is relaxed about getting things done because he is fully engaged in the here and now. His sense of duty may make him appear rather serious at times. He may speak of or express his ideals indirectly. He is aware that he may become the back office expert in his role. Well, that's just the first three paragraphs of, an extensive report. And I just wonder, does any of it ring true? It's interesting, really, that... I beg your pardon? High maintenance. Well, I've got to say, good. We always said in the church that you get the vicar that you deserve.
We blame the church once.
It's interesting, isn't it, that was the result of about, I think, 280 questions. It was a long, long piece of work to wade through it. Another test I've done is called 16PF. That was only 180 questions. But all these questions we are asked, and our response to them taken away, carefully analysed and compared. Because all this is a comparison. And particularly when you look at tests like Gilmore-Frayley, that's exactly what they're there for, to compare different people to see how they will get on together. Myers-Briggs, again, is comparing the majority so that you've got an idea about where you sit in relation to other people. People did not go round asking Jesus 200, 300 questions about who he is, what he would do if. They didn't sit him down and say, if you saw somebody by the side of the road who had been injured, would you A, walk by, B, call an ambulance, or C, go over and see if you could help. They wouldn't have thought of doing any of that sort of nonsense. Yet today, to find out who somebody is, that is our method. Done time and time and time again. What did people do to find out who Jesus was? Well, first of all, they followed. They watched. And they listened. And I hope that those nearest to him also prayed. Pray to understand all that they've seen and heard. Because watching and listening may lead people to the understanding that, well, this looks a bit like John the Baptist come back to life. Or this looks a little bit like what we expect Elijah would be like. Or perhaps he just seems to be a bit like what we understand one of the prophets to be like. But it wouldn't pinpoint who is he. Because actually, I think we probably would agree that I'm not actually like anyone. I am unique. And the only way in which people can describe me is likening me to other people, or likening me to he's like this or he's like that. But I'm not like you, or like him or her. I am a unique combination of lots of different factors, many of which you will never know of. I am unique. And so how is it that Peter is able to say to Jesus, "You are the Christ. You are the living Son of God"? How can he do that? What tests has he done? What questions has he asked of Jesus? What has he heard? What has he seen that brings him to that conclusion that he can so precisely say that you're not just like a son of God, as it's sometimes referred to in the Old Testament. In Daniel, for instance, saw one like a son of God. No, you are the Son of God. The definite article, you are the Son of God. In effect, you are God. How does he know? Well, Jesus turns to him and said, "This is not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you. This is a divine inspiration, a divine manifestation to you. As an individual, clearly not to many, many others. God reveals himself to those whom he chooses." And I hope I'm right in saying that Jesus has revealed himself as the Son of God to all of us here. That we have received something which we cannot explain. We cannot rationalize into a load of reports and questions that this is Jesus, the Son of God, the one who died that we might live. It is not rational. And yet, our lives are governed by this one fact about this one person. The lives of millions of people through the ages have been transformed because of that one belief, that one revelation to them as an individual, that Jesus Christ saves them personally from their sins and grants them eternal life. If Jesus had been sat down in front of a panel of people and had all these questions fired at him about how would you respond to this? What would you do in this situation? They would never have been able to come to that conclusion that Peter did. Peter was close to Jesus. He followed him. He watched him. He listened to him. And he prayed that he may be understanding of all that was set before him. And then that revelation was given to him. So do we know who Jesus is? Well, of course, having been given the answer, it would be easier to trot that off. You are the Son of God. But is that what we know? Is that what is deep within us? Has that been revealed to us? Or do we just hear it and repeat it? So for us too, to truly know who Jesus is, we must follow. We must watch. We must listen. And we must pray for understanding of all that we have seen and heard. Amen.